Welcome to the History Reviewed channel, where we analyze the lies and deceptions of history. I'm reading all the comments people are writing on all of my channels. Some of my videos are banned from YouTube. You can view them on my website at historyreviewed.com. My website is the central index for all my videos. You can search for any videos regardless of where I've put them. There's an unceasing campaign to ban my videos in the following European countries: France, Germany, Italy, Poland, Switzerland, and the Czech Republic. The total population of those countries is 260 million. Europeans are welcome to come to my historyreviewed.com website to view these videos. Please read the description below the video. You will find the link to my website there. There are also links to my website where you can subscribe and donate. I'm looking for subscribers who are willing to subscribe to my channel for $5 per month. Thank you very much to the few who support me. I know I'm behind on videos that I need to put up that I've already done the recordings for with other people. But I've been meaning to do this video for a very long time. And the time has come where I really cannot let this video go by one more day. I have to put this out because really white people need to learn some things. If white people don't learn these things, we are so going down. We are going down, maybe never to recover. Although, to be honest with you, I don't really believe those kinds of lines. There's no such thing as never to recover. But you can do a lot of damage to yourself, which could take you 50 years to recover from. So there's all kinds of things that can go wrong for us if we behave wrongly. There's an interesting book on power that I have. Very interesting book, and it's not quite the kind of stuff that I normally would advocate, but it is a very interesting book. And there are a couple of lessons from it that could be useful for what we are talking about here. But the basic approach that I'm going to give you here is not what you would find in that book. And for those who haven't watched the video, I did a video about my argument with a famous author who's written over 40 books, and he's ex-South African, and he's living it up in London. He threatened me yesterday by copying a guy whom he said was the editor-in-chief of the biggest newspaper on a certain continent. And this guy would now investigate what I'm saying about the Jews and so forth, and he would expose me. Okay? So that letter is in that video. The entire letter, my response to the two of them, and so far I haven't heard a peep out of the two of them since. But when I was busy, I did at a point decide to say my say directly to the editor-in-chief of this enormous newspaper. And I just want to reread that short portion where I say, "Glad to have the chance to address an editor-in-chief of one of the biggest newspapers on that continent. Let me say that you people do the worst possible job imaginable at reporting the truth. I am very glad to see the decline and death of newspapers and printed books coming. You people deserve to be on Skid Row for selling out your own white people. Thank you, Jan." So anyway, that was yesterday. That was just the short one. The full reply that I wrote later about the Germans and the Jews. I'm so sick of hearing the bullshit about the Germans. I'm just so sick to bloody death. I can't believe that anybody in his right mind can still believe that crap. And so that is a separate video that you can watch. Now the topic for today is power. And if you watch that little video that I did long ago about communism in Rhodesia, in there I mentioned the story of why it is that blacks converted to communism. And they converted to communism. They weren't interested in any of the arguments given in favor of communism. Now, this happened in the days of Rhodesia. And this particular story was told by Ian Smith himself, the Prime Minister of Rhodesia. And I saw mention of it in a Rhodesian newsletter. And I then later contacted Ian Smith himself. It was in the days, in the early days of the trouble in Zimbabwe. And I had contact with Janie Allen, the famous journalist. And she had her own radio show on Cape Talk. And we were talking a lot about what Mugabe was doing in Zimbabwe. And back then, I was saying that it's going to happen in South Africa. It's a given that it's going to happen in South Africa. And now the wolf is at the door. But the issue at hand was that Ian Smith had said that he had a discussion with one of Mugabe's ministers, government ministers. One day the two of them were sitting in an office, and Ian Smith asked this black guy, this government minister, he said to him, "Why did you people convert to communism? What made you accept communism?" Now, in those days, the Russians were the main ones driving the liberation of Africa, the liberation wars of Africa. China was involved. The whole Warsaw Pact was involved. And, of course, Europe was not giving military training to the blacks, but Europe was giving them food. And the British, of course, as always, were doing their utmost to destroy the whites. They were cutting the oil supply, asking the world to put sanctions on us and everything. So everybody was against us. Everybody. Even the whites. Even the whites were not really supporting us. The only country that I know that was truly friendly to South Africa, and this came out of the mouth of President P.W. Botha, was actually France. And he said that Spain was also pretty friendly to us. And of course Portugal as well. But even the Dutch were busy giving food to the blacks, and our soldiers were coming across the tins of food that came from Holland and other parts of Europe. That is when they were invading and attacking the camps where the blacks were. But basically, the Soviet Union, Russia, was providing the muscle for the so-called liberation of Africa. And Ian Smith asked this black guy, "How did you get to convert to communism?" And the black guy said, "Well, the Russians took us to Cuba, and they showed us Cuba, and we weren't impressed." Now, these blacks, I must tell you, they would take these blacks to other black countries. They would go to Tanzania. They would go to Gaddafi's Libya. They would go to the Warsaw Pact. They would go to Russia or China. These blacks were flown around and taken places and trained and prepared. And by the way, don't believe a word you hear about Cuba. Cuba is a crap hole, okay? Cuba is a crap hole, and it's never achieved anything. Even its so-called hospital and medical achievements, it's garbage. I know people in South Africa who dealt with Cubans. Because Nelson Mandela brought the Cubans here, they are useless. A Cuban doctor was no better than a South African nurse. That's how rubbish their standards were. And Cuba is a place that is frozen in time. The Cubans are still driving cars from the 1950s because Cuba's never moved forward. Anyway, so the blacks were not impressed by Cuba. They took the blacks to Russia, and the blacks were shown all sorts of things in Russia, and the blacks were not impressed. And then one day the Russians said to the blacks, they said to them, with this system, you can remain in power forever. And when the blacks heard that, they liked that. Power forever. That is what really attracted the blacks. And the blacks, of course, realized, yeah, the system's going to be great. If I'm the boss, I control the politics, I control the army, I control the money, I control everything, and I get to stay in power forever. Oh boy, this is a great system. They then, of course, market that system to their black followers as, oh, this is an awesome system. But of course, it's really an awesome system for the people at the top, not so much for the people at the bottom. But anyhow, that is what the blacks converted to. That's what made them communist supporters. Now, the ANC in South Africa is communist. It's also tied closely with the South African Communist Party. The Communist Party tells everybody, we don't put out an official to be elected. You go and vote for the ANC. There are people. You have Frelimo in Mozambique. You have ZANU in Zimbabwe. You have the MPLA in Angola. And you have SWAPO in Namibia. All of these are communist parties. All of them were funded by the Russians, except for ZANU in Zimbabwe, which was funded by the Chinese. But ZIPRA in Zimbabwe was funded by the Russians. So in Rhodesia, you had the Russians funding the one, the Chinese funding the other. So those blacks liked the idea of raw power. With this system, you get to stay in power forever. Now, in South Africa, if you know where to watch and listen, you'll see that these same blacks in the ANC, they actually believe it too. Because you'll get someone like Winnie Mandela, Nelson Mandela's wife, and she once said something like, the ANC will rule South Africa until Jesus comes. And of course, I doubt very much they believe in Jesus. So I think that's a reference to power forever. And you will see, mark my words, when the globalists, the super rich scum, the liberal clowns, and the Jews try to knock the ANC out, you'll see how the ANC fights for its life. If you think that it's possible to see the ANC not ruling South Africa, not without a war, then you are very much mistaken. If you believe that the ANC can be voted out of power, then you're in for a surprise. You're going to see how little voting really counts. So that's just a little bit of black background on power. How these blacks, who are now free of whites, how they see power and their game that they will play. But what I really want to talk about is whites and power politics. And on my African Crisis website in the days when I wrote a lot, I used to make some jokes about how you get to have tea with the Queen of England. And that's what I'm going to tell you about. How you or I could get to have tea with the Queen of England. Because as far as I'm concerned, white people are doing this all wrong. We are doing everything wrong. That's why we are losing. We are losing because we're idiots. We are losing because we've been misled. And one liar on top of another has been busy with a game. And we've completely lost our edge in the world. Now, this is of critical importance, survival importance, actually, here in South Africa. But this also is important for the whites elsewhere, the white nationalists and the white right, because how the hell are we going to make headway? Now, there was one Englishman that I met about 10 or so years ago when I was working for the bank, and he did courses on databases. And this guy used to love telling the following story. There was some book that he read somewhere, and I don't know what the name is, and I can't find it. But the author of this book basically made the point that when children are small, we lie to them. That the younger they are, the more we lie to the children. Then as the children get older, we tell them more truths. Until finally they're adults and we can tell them the whole truth. I would say we lie to children until they're in their 20s, until they finally get a job. Only then do they start meeting up with reality. Even in their teens, we're still lying to them. We're still telling them how clever they are. But the nature of our lies is to make the children try and move forward and to give them hope and not to overwhelm them with negative things. But I must be honest with you, I do wonder if the truth wouldn't work better with the children. Maybe lying isn't such a good strategy, but that's a whole different thing. So when the children are small, we say to them, oh, there's Santa Claus, and he's going to come and give you presents. And if you put your tooth under your pillow tonight, the tooth fairy's going to come, and she's going to take it, and you're going to get some money. And so we lie to the little children, Easter bunnies, tooth fairies, and so forth, and we make them happy, and we tell them little lies, and everybody has a giggle, and everybody has fun. Now, democracy is like that. Modern democracy, which is garbage, is indeed a lie. Of course, I should point out that the greatest true democracy that ever existed, and the most successful one, was Adolf Hitler's Nazi Germany. Now, mind you, Napoleon's France worked very well as well. So Nazi Germany and France, in their day, they had a tough democracy and it worked for them. But the kind of democracy that those sly Jews and the super rich and liberal scum promote these days, now that's more like the tooth fairy. Yes, little children, if you go and you vote, then wonderful things will happen. Like little snowflakes falling out of the sky, and everybody will be happy, and there will be a rainbow all day, every day, and we're all just going to laugh and sing and dance, and that's how life is going to be forever and ever. Meanwhile, the super rich have made sure that they've rigged the system, that they've been buying up people, that they've been figuring out ways of rigging this thing so that it works for them. Not that it works for us, but that it works for them. So the rich are always busy playing. And of course, I must tell you, in all honesty, I really think that these people should be executed for the kinds of treason they get up to. Honest to God, I just don't understand that we allow these kinds of things. The kind of behavior that we white people allow, it's way beyond reasonable. It's way beyond reasonable. We are endangering our lives. We're physically endangering our lives by allowing the rich to do what they do. And we allow the rich and those treasonous liberal scum, we allow them to do these things. Man, oh man. I'm telling you, we should be executing them for treason. Really. And my Jewish friend used to say, no, no, democracy is going to be great in South Africa. Great, it's going to work. You're going to see. It's going to work so nicely. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, the Jews have got Mandela and they've been cozying up to him. And they're even cozier with Thabo Mbeki. Ooh, ooh. So yes, the Jews like democracy because they got the top guys in their pocket. Not Mandela completely, I might add. There were moments when Mandela didn't go with the Jews. There were certain things he stood his ground on. But Mbeki was such a puppet, such a weakling, such a little clown. And the Jews liked to pretend that his brother was such a great intellectual. And he was regularly having his articles published in the mainstream media. Anyhow, that is all how Jewish politics works. That's when the Jews are around. They aren't too worried. Actually, there's a bit of a joke in this. I should mention my friend Gilbert. Gilbert, my Boer pal. I mentioned him in the video about how the Boers decapitated black crowds. And Gilbert phoned me the one day and he said to me, "You know, Jan, we whites, we are stupid. We are truly stupid. Why did we think that we should have elections and be honest about it? Why didn't we do like the blacks do and just lie about the outcome? Why didn't we just go and say, yeah, we're all for one man, one vote. Yes, we're all for one man, one vote. And then we just rig the election. And then we say, oh no, sorry, you lost, man. You lost, here are the numbers, you lost. And, you know, why did we go the honest route? When we could have gone the dishonest route, it would have been so much easier. And indeed, I said to Gilbert, you're right. We are damn stupid, aren't we? Damn stupid. Because the super rich, the liberals and the Jews, that's their modus operandi. That's their modus operandi. And that is the modus operandi of these weaklings. And it's working. It's working. They've got huge power, huge amounts of money. So another thing that people think is they think that if you make rules and everybody lives by those rules, that is going to sort out everything. The problem there is exactly the same problem we've seen with the rich and the Jews and the liberals. They come and they find people to corrupt and they twist the game. Next thing you know, the people who are making the rules and executing the rules are busy making the rules for somebody else, not for the people who it's meant to be for. You know, these systems are such a joke. You know, free speech is another joke. And democracy is a joke. Democracy is meant to be power to the people. But consider, for example, free speech. Free speech is meant for you and me. And then you get the newspapers and the journalists, and they dash in there and they're saying, No, we do free speech great. We do it great. Next thing you know, there are the millionaires and billionaires and their paid lapdogs, and they are busy doing your free speech. Not only that, but they're telling you when to shut up and they're telling you what's right and what's wrong. But the Constitution says that free speech is for me and for you. It's not for an organization. But there you go, across the world. There you'll see in every country, newspapers and mass media and everybody, and they have got the power. They are the ones that are saying, no, we're doing free speech. Oh, and you, shut up, you, your views aren't right. So that's how free speech works. The rich then say, no, they're doing free speech properly. And your speech, no, your speech is the wrong speech. No, you must do it their way. And they destroy people. And that's how they've destroyed people across the world. Even in America, lots and lots of good people, honest people, have been destroyed by the mass media. Lots of good people have been destroyed by the mass media, vilified, innocent, honest people, good white men and women, vilified and destroyed by the mass media. And yet, free speech is meant to be for you and me. It's our constitutional right to have free speech. And the same is true for voting. And both of these areas, free speech and voting, you'll find that the very places that's supposed to be our personal freedoms, what do you find? You find, good God, no, the rich and their lapdogs and their traitors, they dominate those areas. So how free is that? And America, a two-party state, how different is that to a one-party state? Oh, you know, those communists are bad. They got a one-party system. But hey, what about America's two-party system? How much better is two parties? And in the case of the two-party system, it doesn't matter which one wins. The policies stay the same. So it's all just an illusion. A lot of these things are just illusion and bullshit. And why? Because the rich and the Jews have been in there fiddling with it and hijacking it. So anyway, so that goes to show, that's a little bit of how the world actually works. But let's get down to raw power. Raw power about people. In one of my videos, I mentioned the Oppenheimers. I mentioned somebody who has a family member who's worked for the Oppenheimers, those super rich Jews who fake converted or fakely claimed to have converted to Christianity but never did. Typical Jew activity. Oppenheimers from South Africa, super rich. Now, this pal was telling me that somebody he knows who's dealt with them, that they've got a term. And when somebody comes to deal with them, their first question is, how many ticks does this person have? And a tick is $1 million. So if you only have two or three ticks, then really, who the hell are you? You're nothing. So if you only have, say, $3 million, and $3 million in South African rands would be about 40 million South African rands. So if you only have like 40 or 50 million South African rands, I mean, that would make you nobody. In order to deal with the Oppenheimers, you have to have at least about 20 ticks. And 20 ticks in South African rand would be about 268 million rand. So if you have less than 260 million rand, you are nobody. And there's your first little insight into the rich. See, the rich might look like us, and we think that they're like us. They're not like us at all. These are people who deal with lots of things, and they aren't interested in little people. Little people with little people problems. We are nobody. We're just a herd of cattle. There's nothing more to us. They look down on us. They're living it up. They're enjoying their life. They've got lots of wonderful things, jet aircraft, helicopters, yachts, multiple houses in many places, lots of mistresses. Now really, they're having a good time. Life's good for them. And really, it all is about them. Now if you're dealing with powerful people have got lots of things happening around them all the time. They've got all kinds of threats, all kinds of issues, and they are confronted with all kinds of problems every day. And they've got people that they hire to go and deal with their problems. So if it's legal stuff, they'll call in their lawyers. Or they'll tell their paid lackey lawyers, listen, you must go and do this and this. How much is it going to cost? See to it that you stall them, muck them around here and there, and so on and so forth. So they're dealing with all kinds of threats all the time. And they are dealing with things. They are dealing with things in all sorts of ways. If they're very rich and they've got banks that they own, banks are continuously being robbed. People are trying to steal money out of banks in 1,001 different ways. I worked in a bank. I know what I'm talking about. People outside the bank are trying to steal money. People inside the bank are trying to steal money. No kidding. Everybody's trying to steal money. And it's an ongoing problem to try and stop it. And 99.99% of that kind of stuff that goes on inside a bank, you will never hear one peep about it. Not one peep in the public arena. Never. It's only if it's something big and people can't help but notice it. Ah, they shot up a cash-in-transit van. Stuff like that. They blew a hole in the bank building. Stuff like that. That would get out because it can't be ignored. It's something that actually happened. But many other things happen that unless it goes on trial or all sorts of other things happen that bring it out into the public arena or somebody tells the newspapers inadvertently, these things will never be heard by the public. Lots of these things go down all the time. You don't hear a peep about it. I was there, I heard all sorts of things, and even things that I worked on where people stole money. Things that you wouldn't even know about, even though it's something that you dealt with directly. There's so much secrecy you won't believe. So people are busy with all kinds of things, and the rich and the powerful are dealing with all kinds of threats and problems all the time. Governments are dealing with threats and problems. They've got big problems, ones that really worry them, and then they've got lesser problems. So all sorts of things are coming to the attention of powerful people, and they don't give a shit about you and who you are. And you are nobody. You're just one little pinhead out there in a crowd of people. You're just one little dot on a picture for them in a crowd of 5 million people. Like the organization I worked for had 4.5 million customers. Do you think that they're going to sit and concern themselves with each and every one of you? They've got many, many things going on around them all the time. And this is also where the Jews, with their experience with the powerful, comes into play. The Jews have learned, and the Jews know very well, that you need to grab the attention of people with power. And my Jewish friends used to love doing this. This was something they were practicing all the time. My Jewish pal would tell me, my mother, she went to the manager of the chain store of the supermarket, and she went and complained because she bought milk. A normal person would just go and you'd maybe find somebody low ranking, maybe a supervisor at the most, and you'd say, listen, I think this milk I bought is off. Or if you're like me, many times you'll see you bought a substandard thing, you'll chuck it in the rubbish bin and you won't even bother to complain. But the Jews know the importance of complaining, and they like to complain to the people in power. My Jewish friend would phone me and he'd say, do you know what? Today I talked to the secretary of the CEO of the bank you work for. I'm like, really? Wow. You went that high? But I saw that the Jews always go to the people at the top. They push and shove and kick and scream so that they can draw the attention of the people at the top. Because otherwise you are sitting in a queue and other people at a lower level are going to get attention. Stand in the queue. You're one of 100,000 people in the queue. Wait your turn. And when you get to the front of the queue after waiting for 5 years, then they'll give you the same standard answer that they give everybody else. You're going to get short shrift, okay? And the Jews know that in order to get to power, you have to be around people who are powerful. These Jews will do anything to get to people who are powerful and to go and start hobnobbing with them. They do that. My Jewish pals were always trying to hobnob with all sorts of people. And the Jews scream and screech and howl and they're indignant and everything. But they do that to draw attention to themselves and above all to make a nuisance of themselves in order to draw the attention of powerful people. And the system works for the Jews. They go to those people, they talk their shit, and then those people now will listen to the Jews. And they make sure that they get their side of the story to those powerful people. And you'll see that Jews, even if they hate somebody, even if they hate someone, the moment he's in power, they're around him. They're around him like a bunch of flies around some rotting meat or something. They will be there in an instant because they know that all that matters is power. And they don't care about who is what and whether they like you, don't like you. If you've got power, then you're important to them. And they only want to talk with people who have power. Now, if you look at the blacks in Africa, the blacks in Africa were weak. They had no power at all. And how did these blacks come to beat us? Well, these blacks joined up with people who were out to make a nuisance of themselves. So back in about 1928, I think it was Stalin who then said that the communists of the Soviet Union would support all the black liberation movements around the world. Anyone who was non-white and who was prepared to fight against the European empires, they were game for supporting them. And with time, these blacks were given guns and they were trained, and slowly the blacks learned the art of revolution. They were taught how to engage in revolution, how to engage in violence. And that started back in Kenya with the Mau Mau, who chopped up whites and who also chopped up the animals belonging to whites, all that sort of stuff. So those things started back then. And as time went by, the blacks engaged in more violence. They got better at violence. They fought in Angola, they fought in Mozambique, fought in Rhodesia, fought in Namibia, and then, of course, got to South Africa. Now, the Boers had been watching these Russians in action, and they were preparing themselves to eventually fight the Russians with tanks when Russian tank armies would be invading South Africa. That is actually the kind of military doctrine that the Boers were working towards. They weren't interested in fighting these little groups. Their real thing was to fight an all-out war. So they had all the right ideas that you must use massive force. And the South African army, unlike the Rhodesian army, was not trained for lots of small engagements. They were trained for bigger kinds of warfare. They were trained to be able to fight in bigger groups against bigger armies, because that is what the Boers were expecting. However, they were undermined from within, and they never saw that one coming. But the blacks of South Africa and all the non-whites were eventually gathered together under various groups, and they used violence. And this violence and all sorts of spiteful methods like striking, creating all kinds of panic, planting bombs, killing people, killing their own traitors. If they couldn't kill whites, they'd kill their own traitors. They'd kill any black who was friendly to whites. And doing all these things, they used all kinds of breakdown of law and order. And their basic strategy that they used to talk about, they used to talk about making South Africa ungovernable. The whole purpose was to break the power of the Boer government, to break the power of the whites, so that we can't carry out the functions of the government, of the police, of the security forces, that we can't carry these things out. So the only way that the blacks eventually got to negotiate with us was because the communists gave them guns, the Jews and the liberal scum gave them a voice around the world. So they had guns on the one hand, a voice around the world, and the Jews and liberal scum were making sure that all sorts of noise and focus was always focused on the Boers of South Africa. So we became hated around the world. And this is a point that Alex Linder made in one of the videos. He said, look at it, man. Alex said to me, look at it. The Jew media around the world has painted you people as Nazis and racists. They hate you. They hate you. And they've told everybody you're shit. They hate you, and that's what they're doing to you. And that is true. It worked. So you had the screaming and howling of the Jew corporate liberal mass media, super rich, all of them attacking the Boers, everyone undermining the system. And you even had Jews inside South Africa helping the blacks, helping them in all sorts of devious ways so that they could break the system. And the goal was to break the system, to put the whites under such strain that the army, that the police, that the budget, that we couldn't finance everything, we couldn't control everything. So basically in a nutshell, we had what you could call a slave revolt. So only when the slaves are busy burning things down, when the slaves are all stopping to go to work, when the slaves are busy throwing people out of trains, planting bombs, killing someone here, they weren't strong enough to fight us openly. So they fought us indirectly through disobedience, civil disobedience, breaking the law and doing stuff like that. So they broke the law. Little by little, they worked at breaking the law more, and openly defying your power and getting away with it. And this, for those of you who lived here in the 1980s, this is how things worked. And it was like this all the time. I lived in the center of Johannesburg. I was quite poor. I lived in a little flat that I rented, an apartment that I rented, next to the railway station. There were bombs going off every now and then. In the middle of the night, I'd hear a huge bang, then it's yet another limpet mine, a Russian limpet mine planted by the ANC. When you walked into the railway station, there would be police walking around with shotguns, and that was how life was. Car bombs would go off now and then, big car bomb would go off, stuff like that. That was how they gained recognition and power. And then, of course, in rushed all the scoundrels from the Western world, all the scoundrels from the Western world who decided that, yes, they would help us to now negotiate with the blacks. And the negotiation, as far as I'm concerned, is a joke. But that's a whole other thing. We need to get back to the topic of why politics. Politics is always a failure for white people almost everywhere, almost all the time. Politics is a crock of shit. Okay? Politics, especially negotiation, is the biggest load of bullshit that we've ever engaged in. And I would go so far as to say that it's never worked for anybody. Even Napoleon rejected negotiations time and again, and rather just chose outright fighting to the end rather than negotiate, because he could see it's not going to work for him. As for the Germans under Hitler, they were wise enough to know that all forms of negotiation is a complete waste of time, that you must fight to the end, and then if you're not dead then kill yourself, but whatever you do, don't bother negotiating. You're wasting your time. And they were quite right. They were quite right. And negotiation in Southern Africa for the whites, whether it was Rhodesia, South Africa, Namibia, all of it was a crock of shit, okay? Total waste of time. And what we negotiated and what we got and the worthless promises that weren't even worth a piece of toilet paper, really, all those things, it's shocking how bad the negotiation was for a country that was so strong. I would argue that I think, given the weakness of Rhodesia, given the true weakness of Rhodesia, and that Rhodesia was heading into serious, serious problems, that actually its negotiation was actually a bit better, quite a bit better than in South Africa. And the actions of de Klerk, whom I regard as the biggest loser, his actions are all the wrong things. They are very wrong. And you can see 23 years later, this guy and all his bum chums and all the stuff that they've done, it's not gained us anything. Now, people will say, oh, you know, what we need in life are laws. We need constitutions. We need rules. Yes, we need rules. But you'll find that every single rule that you can think up can be broken. Alex Linda and I had a fascinating discussion one day. This was off the record. And we were talking about such things. Alex Linda actually had an idea for how you can stop a society or a government from becoming corrupt. His idea is so wild, and I don't want to tell you what it is. It's something that I'd like Alex Linda to say by himself. He must explain it himself. And Alex Linda's got some wild ideas, and I like some of them. And his one about how do you stop corruption. Ho, ho, ho. That's nasty, man. That's nasty. He came up with a super nasty answer to corruption. And it's something I'd never heard of before. But he came up with an idea. My view of everything is that whatever people create, they can corrupt and so forth. So I don't see that there's an easy answer either. Alex Linders tried to come up with a possible answer, but that's a whole topic for discussion another day. So in this world where we have all these people and they're talking about democracy and the rule of law and human rights, and you've got this right and that right, and God knows there's so many freaking rights, and a lot of the people who seem to have a hell of a lot of rights are people who shouldn't be having any rights at all. So in this modern bullshit world, we hear of rules and rights and laws and parliaments, and all of these people are just engaging in their clown-like activities. And I look on this as bullshit. Because in the real world, and this is where the Nazis got it right, in the real world, my friends, there's only one law. There's only one law. And that law is the law of the jungle. Everything that you see around you, whether it is America, whether it is South Africa, Russia, whatever, everything that you see that's got all these laws and police and governments, and you see this system in action, All of these things came into being through bloodshed. There are very few countries that might have been created without bloodshed. Somebody claimed that Switzerland was such a country. I don't know enough to tell you, and I've not gone to look. But every single other country on earth has been created through one method and one method alone, and that is bloodshed. There's only one law out there, and that's the law of the jungle. And everything that exists, all these nice legal systems, all these places where the liberals and the Jews are abusing every conceivable thing, all these things that exist only exist because behind the scenes there's a military force, and that military force is the thing protecting that country. Now, in the case of these blacks who struck their deals with communists, what the blacks don't tell you is that those communists have promised them guns and all kinds of weaponry if they need it. Most of the world today is really a joke world. You've got a couple of very powerful countries. You've got places like America and Russia and China. And those places are the real powers. And they control maybe puppet states. There are puppet states who are allied to them. And you get like the Russians sponsoring the Iranians, sponsoring the Syrians. And that is where those nations are themselves protected by a bigger nation. Now, Africa is indirectly owned by various other countries. And the blacks in Africa, pretty much all these nations, are little puppet states. They can't defend themselves really against serious military aggression. They can handle maybe some levels of terrorism and crime, but not that much. However, on the one hand, quite a number of them are friendly, maybe with Russia or China, and others have got Western businesses, the super rich, who've got mines and stuff in there. And so those super rich, they are concerned about their mines and their physical assets that they're busy getting out of those countries. So those black countries don't have raw power themselves, but because of their position and their politics, they will have lots of countries that are friendly to them. An example is Nigeria. Britain is forever kissing the ass of the Nigerians and was willing to sell Rhodesia down the river as long as they could keep getting oil from Nigeria. And Shell Oil, which is Dutch, also is a big operator in Nigeria. So these countries with these raw materials, they don't have power, but the much bigger countries that are dependent on those resources will come and kill you if you mess with those sources of raw materials. So even a communist like Robert Mugabe, who hates the West, he still makes sure that he keeps selling the chrome which can be used for aircraft. He sells that chrome to America, and he never threatens to cut that chrome supply to America, because if he did, he'd get bashed in his face, kicked in his face in short order. So he knows, don't muck with the chrome, don't mess with that. And otherwise, he's allowed to do other things. And he can go and have the Chinese and the Russians, who give him guns and do deals with him when he needs them. So these little countries have got various positions that they use. So they're not that strong, but they have certain affiliations to other nations. And those affiliations allow them to get protection from much bigger powers. And that is the way the world actually works. And as Adolf Hitler mentioned in Mein Kampf, he said that if the Jews get to have their way, then the entire world would become one big department store. And that is pretty much where the world is now. We are a big department store, and these big nations need their supplies of oil, need their supplies of raw material, uranium, gold, platinum, all these other things. As long as they can get those things, they don't give a shit about the blacks. They don't give a shit about the whites. They care about nobody. They just want their raw material supplies at the right price. And if they get that, everything else is secondary. Everything else is secondary. If you are unhappy, crime is high, they don't care. The medical services and hospitals are falling apart. They don't care. The government is stealing half the money and ruling the country badly and mismanaging it. They don't care. But when it hits their pocketbook, then they do care. When it hits those mines, then they do care. And the story of Britain in South Africa is purely a story of a pocketbook. Britain came here to get money out of South Africa, and that's why they came to invade it. They were doing in South Africa a century ago, more than a century ago, the same thing that the Americans are doing in the Middle East. Same thing. The British Empire came and did the same thing. Shot the Boers, killed their women and children, burned down their farms, destroyed everything, so that they could get to the real wealth and control this country the way they want to control it. Britain is one of the owners of South Africa. Britain is a key player in South Africa and has always been. And it is Britain that formed South Africa. Britain formed the Union of South Africa, which is South Africa as it exists today. It took the two Boer republics that it shot up, took their two colonies, merged them together, called the thing South Africa, and that's how this thing was created. It wasn't created by the Boers, it was created by the British. If I'm wrong on that point, I haven't gone to dig more, but if I'm wrong on that point, you can take me on. But the bottom line is that Britain is the main player here. Britain owns South Africa and has owned it for more than 100 years. And the Boers tried to slip out of it with apartheid, and Britain helped the blacks to break the Boers. So underneath all this stuff of business and voting and free speech and human rights, all of this is just a facade. This is just window dressing. This is just window dressing. At the end of the day, the only thing that you have is that thing which you can defend physically. It is that thing which you physically have control over. And by physically, I mean nobody can come and take it from you. Now, how exactly you get to that position? In the case of the blacks, they and the Russians and Chinese and even the weakling Europeans, because, I mean, Europe after World War II basically lost its independence. And only certain countries like France pretty much have continued to function more or less in their own way. But the rest of them, especially the ones like Germany and Italy, those ones were conquered, controlled, and they are ruled by the Americans and the British. Let's say they are ruled by the Anglo-American Jewish Empire. So the Anglo-American Jewish Empire got in there and they played games. Their goal was to get rid of empires in Africa and break European power in Africa. So you'll see that Europeans don't play games in Africa. The Europeans just come, they buy their bit of stuff that they need, and that's that. They don't play games in Africa like they used to. But they collectively conquered 90% of Africa in 20 years when they needed to. And that was well over a century ago, before the Anglo-Boer War. So it just depends. It depends in many ways what the high-level players want. The high-level players make a deal between themselves and they say, you know what, we think we should break this power over here, split those people over there, and then when the really powerful nations make decisions, they come and they kill whoever needs to be killed, whether they are blacks, whether they are whites. They kill whoever needs to be killed, take physical control, and that's that. Underneath all this Christianity, all this morality, all this democratic bullshit, all this free market economic bullshit, all of these things, underneath all of these things lies one thing, and that is raw military power. Underneath all this, underneath all these things, oh, you know, we were going to help the Boers. That's why we had to shoot them. Yeah, we love Muslims. We love Muslims. That's why we had to go kill 5 million of them. Okay? The truth is, raw power is the only power. And despite the fact that the whole world has become a Jewish department store, and literally you could say it, Amazon, how's that? There's a Jewish department store for you, serving the world. The fact that the world has become a Jewish department store, underneath all of this, none of this could exist if there wasn't raw military power. And it's raw military power. Can the Russians take South Africa? Can the Americans drive them out? These are the real facts of life. And the same problems affect the Europeans. The Europeans, the Germans, the Italians, the Romanians, the Hungarians, these people were crushed, and these people had to now pick up the pieces of their little countries. And these people also are suffering from a problem, and that problem is the lack of raw military power. But using science, using industry, they've rebuilt themselves. They've gone for a long time without a war, and I don't think the Europeans want to see Europe broken into the ground again. I think that they will continue to try and walk the path of peace. They are just Jewish slaves, but they will walk the path of peace. However, as they gain more strength and become more confident of themselves, they will want to be free. They won't want to be Jewish slaves all their lives. And this period in Europe, since World War II until now, this is the most powerless that Europe has been. It's the most powerless that Europe has been in a very long time. Probably the last time Europe was this powerless was in the days when the Ottoman Empire was great and the Ottoman Empire dominated the Mediterranean. That was probably the last time, and we're talking, what, almost 500 years ago. It was probably almost 500 years ago that whites in Europe were as weak as they are today. Now the world is America's playground. The Anglo-American Jewish Empire is running the world. And the armed fist of that empire is the American military. But the British military is always keen to assist in the killing of any people that need to be killed in order that the Anglo-American Jewish Empire can continue existing. And there is also a certain level of infiltration of the British into the American mindset, as well as also just being a little lapdog as well on the other hand. But the British talk about their special relationship with America, which sounds very much like a paedophile. Yeah, I'm having a special relationship, and he's only 10 years old. Ooh. So that's the Jewish-British way of thinking. And they're busy with their nefarious stuff. And between the British, the experienced British liars, and those cunning, sly Jews, they are quite effectively making America quite insane. And no doubt the Europeans are looking on America with disgust. And America is getting crazier. And of course, I think it will just continue getting crazier and crazier as the wild Jewish madness continues to make America more insane by the day. Insane internally, insane externally, just ever madder. While the rest of the world takes it much more easily. Even the Russians, who used to madly be building weapons, they eventually had to cut back. Now the Russians are an example of a people who had nothing going for them. But after World War II, they spent every penny that they could on weaponry. And for decades, until the late 1980s when they collapsed, for decades they made sure that military spending was their number one priority. And they had no other claim to fame. Their economy is smaller than that of Canada's. It's about the same size as Canada. But their real thing that gave them punch was military. They armed the blacks. They caused revolutions everywhere. They used violence. They used terrorism. They lied. They did all kinds of things. And all of it was military. All of it was military. Military was the only thing that gave the Soviet Union any kind of punch. And of course, they had half of Europe enslaved. But with Germany out of the way, Germany a real power in a regional sense, with Germany out the way, Japan out the way, all these other goofball countries started rising, started taking their place. But the key thing, of course, is the breaking of the raw power of the white people of Europe. The raw power which was starting to arise in the time of the Nazis and the fascists. That raw power that allows you to do stuff. Now, the greatest time in white history, when white people had raw power, focused on raw power, kept raw power, and raw power worked for them like never in their history before or since, was the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire was about war. And the Roman Empire saw to it that the Roman system was built and defended by war, and whenever they needed to make more war, they did it. So underneath all this stuff of civilization and poetry and law and all these other junk ideas, all these things are window dressing. They are window dressing for the real thing, and the real thing is raw power. It means I control this. And if you come to take my stuff, you'll be dead. Yeah, you can have my stuff. Sure, you can have my stuff. You can have my stuff anytime. Over my dead fucking body, you can. You can get my stuff, but first you have to kill me. Yeah, you can have it when I'm fucking dead. But until I'm dead, you don't have it. And hey, I think I might want your stuff. And if I want your stuff, and you're not willing to defend it, it will soon be my stuff. And underneath all this politics, if you go and study history and stuff, you'll see it's just all bullshit. Everything is bullshit, okay? All these politicians who get up and say, oh, you know, we had to do this because these weakling bureaucratic cucks and useless bastards get up and say, oh, you know, we were defending these people's rights. We care about them, and we saw that you killed their children, and that's why we went in with our army. All bullshit, okay? All absolute bullshit. The only thing that matters in this world is raw power. And for businessmen, it's money, money and assets and stuff, and they will exercise that ruthlessly. And countries, all these countries that were built, that are first world, that are Western, were built on the basis of white military power. And that's that. It's white military power, and that's the end of that. These things were created and kept in place by military power. And military power is Mother Nature at work. So animals are out there, they're busy eating each other. When it's mating season, the bulls are busy smacking each other, and the bull that's the strongest gets to mate with the females. That's the raw nature of life. That is how it works in the real world. All this other window dressing, all these other little cowards and useless rats who come out and then come up with all their stupid, pointless ideas. None of these things would exist if soldiers did not create it. Everything that exists, that is in place, was created by soldiers. And when those soldiers are no longer there to defend it, that whole thing will fall down. Now, in the case of America, America was created by white people. America was created by white people, white Christians, who were killers. They went and they killed whoever they needed to kill, and they killed whatever they needed to kill that was in their path until they dominated that place from north to south, east to west. The Jews are now trying to turn it into a multicultural thing, bring in all these other races, and sneakily take it out from underneath the whites. They're busy kicking whites out of the military, busy sneaking in more Mexicans and non-whites and others, so that the future American army will be a non-white army. But the truth is that America was built by whites, and the raw power underneath it, the foundation of it, was white. You take that white foundation away, and then you'll see what this new thing is, and whether this new thing can stand up to anything. In my view, whites can take that country back again. You break that new thing, you break it to the ground, and replace it with raw white power again. And I reckon it's very doable. Now, in the case of Europe, the Europeans lack that raw power. But Europe is already a superpower in every conceivable way. I've checked it. In terms of population, in terms of GDP, in terms of science, the Europeans are back up there, and they are better than anybody else out there. All these other little superpower wannabe baby pretenders like China, the little Chinese useless thing, and even Russia, these are not superpowers. Europe is the only superpower in the world. It was the greatest superpower. It controlled most of the world. And all of these other offshoots, even us in South Africa, even the Americans, even the Australians and the New Zealanders, all these other offshoots were created by the military force, military and technical force of Europeans. All of us are the remnants and offshoots of those places. How strong we became or didn't become, or the losers we've become, like us in Southern Africa, this is merely the consequences of our own errors. But ultimately, it's raw power that created everything. And if you lose that raw power, you lose everything. And I've got to tell you, whites, that there you've seen yourselves negotiated settlements with blacks, all these checks and balances, all these intellectuals, professors, lawyers, one bigger bullshitting liar and weakling and scumbag than the next. And all those bullshitting bastards, and how did that help us? Where are they now? Where are all these checks and balances, these things that were going to protect us, that are now disappearing? Why? Because the blacks, have focused on raw power and gaining raw power, driving whites out of jobs, getting their tentacles into businesses, strengthening their military, strengthening their political system, seeing to it that they work together as a team. Raw power, my friends. Raw power, while the whites of South Africa, like the whites of Europe, have just been minding their own business, keeping their heads down and working, while everybody else is accumulating raw power. But in South Africa, originally, the military power that existed here after the British was the Boer. Of course, Britain could come again. Britain and America could invade South Africa again. And if white people are a problem, they could come here, kill the whites, and sort us out. They can do that. The Anglo-American Jewish Empire has killed many white people in many countries. And ask the Europeans, ask them how it worked for them. Ask the Italians how many dead they had. Ask the Germans about Dresden, all these things. Raw military power, my friends. The very thing that they tried to break in the Germans and the Japanese and the Italians. All those people who came after them, the Americans, the Russians, the Chinese, the blacks even, all up to their eyeballs in knowing that the only power that matters in the end is what you can do on the ground. Ask the blacks of Zimbabwe how all those elections worked out when they went against the communists there. Ask them, because I know what happened and I was closely involved with that. And it was raw power, my friends. They cheated at any election they needed to cheat at. They killed whoever they needed to kill. They beat whoever they needed to beat. They tortured whoever they needed to torture. And they assassinated whoever they needed to assassinate. It was all raw power. Oh, yeah, Zimbabwe is a democracy. It's a democracy. Absolute bullshit. When it came down to the wire, it was raw power. And the same happened in Angola, the same happened in Mozambique. They fought until they couldn't fight anymore. They fought in Angola till 1 million blacks were dead. But ultimately, raw power is the key thing here. All other forms of power are nothing more than window dressing. They're nothing more than little things hanging on the Christmas tree. They are nothing more than that. The only power that matters is raw physical power, your ability to control the world. And first and foremost, that's military. If you can't take control of something and keep something and defend something, you will lose it to the next guy who has the ability to do that. It's that simple. And in the case of forms of power, the second most powerful form of power is money, because you can control people through money. And that, of course, is where the Jews focus all their energy, because they are too cowardly to engage in military stuff, and they never really bother with military stuff. So their things are other forms of power, but money is the second one. But if you have to put money against military power wins. You'll tear them up, you'll be standing over the corpses of the bankers and the rich, and you will own their assets. And that is the history of the world. That is the law of the jungle. And that, my friends, is the only law in this world. There is no other law. Every other word that comes out of a politician's mouth or the mouth of a king is utter bullshit. And when they talk all those nice, sweet words, let me tell you, they have weighed up. Can I kill you? How quickly can I kill you? It looks like you're a bit too tough to kill. Okay, so I'll be friendly to you because I can't kill you now. Maybe in 50 years' time I can kill you. And you'll see these countries. Watch all these countries. You'll see that it's all about power. It's all about raw power. The little guy, he gets kicked around like a dog. He gets kicked from this side to that side. Oh, you didn't do this rule, and you didn't do that rule. Go and watch those Americans. They will go and kick Syria around. Go and see how keen they are to go and kick China around. Go see if they're willing to kick China around like a rag doll. See if they're keen to do that. No, you will see in this world, they go after all those who are a lot weaker They're a bunch of bully boys. But there's nothing wrong with that. That's the world. That's the world. That's the way it's always been. As Adolf Hitler said, in this world of struggle, he who wants to live, let him fight. Because Adolf Hitler knew that this is nothing more than a world of struggle. And if you are not prepared to stand your ground on things, you will go nowhere. And we are kidding ourselves. We are kidding ourselves if we believe that all these other forms of power are superior. Because none of these other forms of power would exist. Not even these intellectuals, these professors, none of them would exist if the military people didn't create it through warfare and bloodshed and saw to it that the borders are protected. That is the nature of every single country on earth in history. You can get and own anything where you can go and kill somebody else and take his shit. Afterwards, you can say, oh, you know, we did it because we cared about this and we have this moral position. All of that's bullshit, okay? The bottom line is you can get whatever you want if you can kill them and get away with it. However, it does get to an interesting point. There comes a point where all these big, powerful countries who can kill, they start becoming scared of certain options. And you'll see that there comes a point where they have to contain certain things. Like you'll see nuclear weapons. You'll see that with nuclear proliferation. So first America gets the nuclear weapons, then Russia gets it. The Jews see to it that Russia gets all of America's nuclear technology. Next thing you see is the communist Chinese have it too. Don't know if the Jews helped them to get that. Then once the big powers have got all the nasty stuff, they've now got the real weapons that are going to kill a lot of people. Then suddenly you see them running around talking about nuclear proliferation. Oh, you know, it's so bad. It's so bad. And you see it now, nowadays with Iran and North Korea. Oh, it's so bad. It's so bad that North Korea's got a nuclear weapon and they could fire it at America and Iran might get one. The fact that Israel, Britain, France, China, Russia, and America have got nuclear weapons, somehow that's not wrong. Somehow that's not wrong. And you'll see these games these people play because they realize that some things are an exclusive club and they don't want somebody else to get that edge. So now they go after them. So now all of a sudden, Don't let North Korea get those nuclear weapons. No, it's a bad thing. Those nuclear weapons Israel's got or the nuclear weapons that England has got. No, that's not a problem. Not a problem. Not a problem. But don't let North Korea get it as well, you know. We wouldn't want Mexico to get it. Stuff like that. And these are just the games that the powerful play. So the powerful have their stuff and they say, well, you know, we've got the power. And it's like that joke, you know, the golden rule. Who makes the rules? He who has the gold makes the rules. But it's not a case of he who has the gold makes the rules. No, 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 my friends. It's he who's got the military power, the guns. And the bigger the caliber, the better. If you have guns, aircraft, missiles, yeah, that's the real power. That's the thing that matters. And he who has the guns makes the rules. And look around at the world. You'll see all kinds of intellectual bullshit being used by the leaders of nations, the parliaments, all kinds of bullshit to justify certain things. But the bottom line is the people who have the guns do what they want to do. But they are very afraid of doing what they want to do with somebody else who has guns too. Then they start thinking twice and three times. Then they say, okay, 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 I'm not going to attack you. I'm not going to attack you because you got nuclear weapons. So you now get America and Russia, both of them pumped up on nuclear weapons. And they know that if we're going to go down, we're going to go down big and we're going to go down together. Not totally true, but that pretty much is the way that it works. So they have respect for you when you have enough guns. So don't think that this Christian, liberal, soppy, wishy-washy world is run by all these wonderful ideals. No, my friends, the professors, the intellectuals, they will do what the men with the guns tell them to do. So if you tell the professor, this system is a communist system, see to it that you teach that communism is good, then the professor will teach that. And if tomorrow you say to him, listen, the system today is liberalism, teach that, then he'll do that. All these intellectuals, all of them mean nothing. Everything means nothing. Even these businessmen mean nothing. All that matters is the man with the gun. So, how do you get to have tea with the Queen of England? The only time that the Queen of England or any other queen or president will ever take notice of you is when you have enough guns. If you have enough guns, everybody will want to have tea with you. And they will drink their tea holding their pinky fingers all nicely. And you can have some cake and they'll serve it. And you can go into a nice room and you can all have a wonderful 5-course meal and listen maybe to some classical music and be involved in culture. But first, you need guns. If you don't have guns, you don't get anything. That is how the world works. It's always worked that way, and it always will work that way. And that is what white people need to understand. Now, let's go look at how our politics has been doing versus the blacks. Look at how blacks are invading Europe, and Muslims are doing their thing there, and the whites have to sit back. And I heard the other day, I think in Germany, I'm not sure if it's Germany, I think it's Germany, they're going to make it legal. It's not going to be a crime if a white woman is raped by a Muslim. And here in South Africa, let's look at how it's going here. Just like in Europe, we in South Africa are sitting and doing nothing. Around us, the blacks are just engaging in all kinds of violence, man. And the violence is going on and it's just getting worse. There's some film footage I want to show all of you. You're going to fall on your back when you see what some of the blacks in one of their things was doing. You'll fall on your backs when you see blacks using even more raw force than you've seen blacks use before. The blacks are getting things from the rich. How are the blacks getting it from the rich? The blacks have learned and been trained and taught that you must use violence. Nobody's going to take notice of you in your stupid community unless you're busy blocking the roads, burning tires, and being lawless. Break the law. Break the law. Have a strike, legal or illegal. And if you do that, then suddenly you'll get noticed. So the wheel that squeaks the most gets the most grease. The Jews know that. But all these blacks have learned it too. And that's what they've been taught. And that's what they've been doing for decades. And they're doing more and more and more of it. and they tear up a town when they need to, and they set fire to the houses of the whites if they need to. And they are being lawless, but they are making headway in the political system. They are demanding more, and they're getting more irritated if they don't get it. And that, my friends, there's nothing wrong with that. That is the law of the jungle. And the law of the jungle works everywhere. But the law of the jungle comes at a risk. The risk could be that you'll be shot dead if you take that law too far. But ultimately, the law of the jungle is still there, and it's still functioning. And the only people who are getting attention in the world are the people who are rebelling against a system. And the blacks have got so used to it in South Africa, they do it in their sleep. They are so practiced at it, so used to it, that they know that the big thing to do, strike, bring a business to a grinding halt, demand more. When I was at the bank, in the last 2 years at the bank, the 1 year I got a 1% increase, and the other year I got a 2% increase. The blacks were unhappy when they got a 6% increase. If they got a 6% increase, they'd put in their resignations and leave. And there were blacks at that same bank that I was working who were getting 12% increases. Even then they were griping that it's not enough. So let me tell you that we whites, we're sitting around and we're doing nothing. But everybody else is doing what the hell they want. The rich do what the hell they want. The blacks do what the hell they want. And all these people who do what the hell they want, they are the ones that are actually making some kind of progress. And we are sitting and we're saying, yes, but the law this and the law that, and wasn't the law supposed to protect us? Oh, but nobody did that for us. We thought that that was our right. You'll see, all of this is just junk. It's just bullshit, man. It's utter bullshit. Nothing works. And the only things that work are the things that you are going to put some energy into. If you want something and you want it badly enough, you're going to have to show that you want it badly enough. So don't imagine that in this world that now we are so civilized we don't do anything. Oh, really? How is America looking at the world? How many aircraft carrier groups do they have? I think I read the other day they've got more than a dozen aircraft carriers. I think more than a dozen. I'm not sure if it's even as many as 19. But America, how are those rules working out for you? No! They've got nuclear weapons. They've got huge fleets of ships at sea. That is what's working for them. That's what's working for them. They're paying huge amounts of money for it, but that is all that's working for them. And the Europeans are sitting around quietly. The whites in Africa are sitting waiting to die. And yeah, we're all sitting and doing nothing. But look at who's progressing around us. How did Robert Mugabe deal with the opposition? He just smashed them, broke them in every conceivable way, drove out people, crushed them, and it worked. And did you see the world getting upset over that? Okay, he's a black, so the world will let him off the hook. The Jews will always let a commie or a black get away with it. The Jews and the liberal scum, they'll always let them off the hook. But look around you, my fellow whites, look around you and see that the world today is the same world that it was a billion years ago. When the dinosaurs roamed the earth, the laws were the same as they are today. And they will be the same in a billion years from now. And if we white people do not begin to value power in all its forms, and most of all, raw power, the power to physically take over, dominate, or defend. If we do not take these things seriously, we are not going to be players. And yet, we were the best at this. We have always been the best at this. And I would argue that for our future, that the only future we should concern ourselves with, and this is actually something that even Dr. William Pierce brought up, is a brilliant, brilliant thing that Dr. William Pierce brought up. He brought up a wonderful topic. Of all the excellent things he's done, this is the best of the lot. There's one particular thing that Dr. William Pierce said in a podcast that I really must show all of you whites. This is so freaking true. And this business is that we whites, I think that politics is a swindle. Politics is mostly bullshit. And politics, of course, when the Jews and the liberals are involved and the commies and the blacks, oh man, you Americans, you white Americans, you don't know what's coming to you. You are going to lose out on everything. You'll find that you're going to be cheated out of everything you ever had, just like the Boer was, just like the Europeans were. All of this politics is a huge swindle, and every aspect of it is total bullshit. At the end of the day, all that matters is what power you can build. And that power, in its rawest form, I got to tell you, is babies and guns. We need babies and guns. And we need many babies and many guns. And those are the only things that will matter in the future. And the sooner we have lots of both and keep building on that, that is the only power that will matter for white people in the future. And our ability to do those two things are going to be key to our survival, whether we survive and whether we have anything in the future world. We need numbers, and we need numbers of men, and we need large amounts of power. We need men and women, but mostly we need militarized men everywhere. White men with weapons everywhere, in every country, on every continent. And that is what we need. And then, the intellectuals, the professors, and the businessmen will sing the right songs when you put a gun to their heads. And even these billionaires, what is a billionaire? A billionaire can be as dead as anybody else. So I assure you, the billionaire will do the right thing when you've got a gun pointed to his head. You tell that billionaire, listen here, you either sing the song that I'm going to tell you to sing, or you're going to be a dead fucking billionaire, and you're going to have nothing. We will take all your shit once your dead little body is rotting in the sun. And then the billionaire will do what you tell him to do. And the same is true for everybody else. And that is the way that we white people used to be. Don't kid yourself. I would go so far as to say that all this democracy bullshit, all these unfit scum who get the vote, who shouldn't have the vote. Democracy originally was about soldiers. Democracy was about soldiers voting. I'd go so far as to say those are the only people who should be voting. I've debated this and thought about it for many years of my life, but I've got to tell you, I think the only democracy that's needed is the one of the soldiers. Because if you are not willing to defend the country, then you shouldn't have any right to vote. How is it that all kinds of clowns get to now abuse the political system. Well, in the case of the liberals and the Jews, they are willing to team up with any useless bastard they can come across. But I got to tell you, that I think the only democracy there should be is the one where the soldiers vote. The soldiers must vote. Why? Because only the soldiers will keep the country defended and hold everything in place. Without them, there is nothing. There is nothing. Because other people can invade and take over. Now the Boers today, who've lost all their power, like the Rhodesians, like the Germans, like the others, but let us not knock the Germans. They did not give up their power freely. They fought to the last man, literally. Now the Boers have a lesson to learn. The Roman Empire, which became so militarized, that Roman Empire was not always militarized. In the early days of the Roman Empire, there came a time when the Gauls, the people in France, the Gauls came and invaded Rome in its early days. And the Gauls were there, and the Gauls did what the hell the Gauls pleased. The Romans struggled so much, the Romans couldn't get rid of the Gauls. In the end, after some years of struggle, they eventually bribed them and paid them off to get them out because they couldn't oust them. And after that nasty experience, the Romans thereafter took military power seriously. And from then on until the collapse of the Roman Empire, the Romans ensured that they were militarized and armed to the teeth. Because they knew what it's like when somebody else has raw power over you and you can't control what they do and you have no means of stopping it. Now the liberals and the Jews, they talk their shit. They talk their shit. Oh, you know, let's negotiate everything. Everything can be talked out. Oh, bullshit. That's just because you're a bunch of people who want to screw other people out of stuff. That's all bullshit. So you can't do that. You need to have a gun behind you when you're busy negotiating. And until you have raw power and you value raw power, raw military power, which means you go and you take what you want to take, you defend what you want to defend, meaning that nobody will come into that place because they will all be dead when you're finished with them. Or even if they try to stop you from going somewhere, they will all be dead, but you'll get there. Until you operate in that raw military way and accept the need and the value for military power and military action, until white people value this thing, we are so going downhill. And politics everywhere is a total fucking swindle. It's a total fucking swindle. And it's because we've let all these people who shouldn't be there get involved in all these weak democracies. And they are busy robbing and stealing and lying and cheating in the system. A system which was created and should have been protected with our lives. All kinds of people who are unfit to have power have got power now all over the world. And every day the liberals and the Jews are bringing in more unfit people, expanding things into all sorts of maniacal directions. But ultimately, these nations that they are tearing apart and messing up, these things were created by white men with guns. And those things should be protected on pain of death. I'll be honest with you. I think there are a lot of people, I'm talking a lot of people, who need to be executed for treason. And among them, right at the top of those lists, should be liberals and the super rich. They should be executed if they break the rules. There's so much treason that is fashionable. And until white people take their power and their power structure seriously, they are just going to see things get crazier and crazier. But ultimately, all these things are built on raw power. Raw power. And the moment you lose your raw power, or you lose the will, you now no longer have the energy or the interest to defend this thing. Well, then, my friend, you will be replaced by the next one who is taking his raw power seriously. Your bones will be visible there in the field. Your rotting corpse will be walked over by your enemies. And men need to understand this. Men need to grasp this. And you need to understand that nothing exists unless the men take control. And that means the raw willpower and raw force to defend things or to create things. Because this raw force also creates things. All these nations were created through blood and defended, because everybody comes to try and take you. It's a wild world out there. That's the law of the jungle. Everyone's going to try and take a bite out of you. And if you don't defend yourself and if you can't survive, then you're going to go down and you're going to be replaced by the next thing. The one who gets to eat you, he wins. Whoever's big enough to eat the other guy, he wins. And until whites start thinking in these terms, and of course we must be thinking in racial terms too, where our goal is not only to defend ourselves locally, but as a race, we need raw force. We need to be able to say, we, the white race, we've decided that this thing, we want this thing. And it's going to be ours next week. And off you go. And you do it. Until we can operate like that. And I must tell you, I think that if whites globally can work like that, we will never again find ourselves in the madhouse that we are in now. And all these misfits who are gaining power and doing all their stupid stuff, all this nonsense, we must never allow that to happen again. All these misfits, all these criminals, all this rubbish who get to rule countries. In the future, we should be far quicker with the rope and the firing squad. When you see somebody saying, ooh, I've got a new idea. This is called liberalism. He should be up on trial for the crime of liberalism. And it must be a crime that's punishable by death. Treason. Treason is punishable by death. Whether one billionaire does it or 100 billionaires do it. Execute them all. And take all their property. Confiscate it from their mistresses and children. Take all their stuff. Take it away. Execute them. What is a billionaire? If we white people do not act and behave like a lion in that jungle out there, if we do not act and behave like that lion, we're not going to go anywhere. It's just going to be downhill. And we need to think in these terms. We need to act in these terms, and we should make this our goal. Because all this other stuff, you can do all these nice things, and even the professor will come out and he'll say his thing and provide his bogus intellectual support for whatever the hell it is you want him to do. All these banks, all these super rich, they are nothing. They are nothing. And white people used to be excellent at this all the time throughout our history. I'd go so far as to say that among ourselves we can negotiate, but when we're dealing outside of our race, there should only be one thing, and that is our decision and our military force, and that's all we should concern ourselves with. That is the real power, and we must keep it for ourselves. And along with that is our technology. Our technology that Israel steals from America and gives to Russia and China at its will. That stuff also, that must come to an end. The stealing of technology should be regarded as yet another crime for which you will be executed. Now there's a lot of work for the hangman, I got to tell you. A lot of work for the hangman. And Europe used to be the strongest continent on earth with the biggest empire on earth. And it should come back. And we as whites need to stand up and start building ourselves up. This bogus bullshit political system, we can play these things because these are the current things. We can play them and we can go play our little word games and stuff. But meanwhile, back at the ranch, behind the scenes, every white male must be saying to himself, the only thing that we whites need is more babies, more guns. That's what we need. And we need to work towards that as a racial goal. And those of you who watched my video about the Pope of the white race, I've mentioned Ben Carson. The only thing that should concern us is the growth and expansion of white racial power. Everything else means nothing. And even in my videos with Alex Linder, he's also said the same thing. All that matters is our power, and that's all. And the ancient Romans and Greeks, they took their politics and their military stuff seriously. And they used to believe it is better to die on your feet than to live on your knees. And Napoleon said a similar type of thing. He said, to live defeated is to die every day. And I've got to be honest with you, man. I've lived my whole life like this. I've lived my entire life like this. Lived on my knees. And I've got to tell you, it's not fun. It's not fun. No, watching all these others, large and in charge, while they are busy playing their games. Let me tell you, it's a nightmare. And white people are heading into a nightmare. And there's only one way. There's so much bullshit doing the rounds, intellectually, politically, legally, business-wise, everything. Whites are being cheated, scammed, lied to on a grand scale. And white people need to say, you know what? We're sick of this bullshit. We are going to clean house. We're going to clean house and we are going to take control of anything and everything the hell we want. And that's how we should be focusing. And as for the Boers, I must tell you people that until you take your politics and your military seriously, there's no future, no hope whatsoever. And in the same way that those blacks gained power by breaking our stuff, breaking our system, working to destroy our system, working against us to try in every malicious way break our power, the only way that we are going to get anywhere is by maliciously breaking their power one step at a time. And until we can think like that and build towards that in the future, we are not going anywhere. And in this world with business people and all these others, they will do nothing if they don't have to. It doesn't help to make an empty threat. Let me tell you, empty threats don't work, except as a bluffing game. If you bluff and the guy falls for the bluff and you get something. But on the whole, you need to be able to make a threat that is a credible threat. In the end, in the real world, Nothing matters in terms of talking. You can go and talk until you're blue in the face. There was that billionaire Boer who went to the United Nations and said that he'd like to have our Boer republics back. And they laughed him off. No one's going to take you seriously, man. Even if you're a billionaire, if you don't have certain powers, nobody is going to take you seriously. And in our case, we gave away all our power. A thing, an error that the Germans did not make. The Germans gave up nothing. And we should be doing the same. We should take our power seriously. We should look at things, and I've got to tell you, to play power politics is a different mindset. Regardless of all the bullshit in this world that, oh, we are all one. I assure you, everybody still looks at people in groups. We talk about the blacks. The blacks talk about the whites. The coloreds talk about the blacks and the whites. Everybody sees people as groups. And these groups are easily identifiable, and people look at them, and people draw group conclusions. Now the liberals, scum, and the Jews, they want to get people away from that kind of thinking. But that's just because that's the really good kind of thinking, and they don't want people to be in on a good thing. Just like the people with their nuclear missiles don't want other people in on the nuclear missiles, because you don't want other people to be able to party with the same stuff that you've got. So you want to keep it to yourself. All these people around us still see everybody as a group, regardless of what they say. And just to remind you, the government sees us as a group. And it's written into law, and there are 130 laws that discriminate against us on the basis of a group. They don't ask, oh, Jan, did you do this? No, it's Jan, you're a white man, therefore this law applies to you. Affirmative action and all kinds of other discrimination is based on the fact that we're a group. Of course, everybody's laws are focused on white people because white people are the only ones that are legally discriminated against across the world. So don't think that people aren't noticing groups. Oh, they are noticing groups very much, I tell you. When I worked at the bank, one of the managers there, one of the non-white managers there, told me on a number of occasions about a time when Afrikaans people were angry. And he talked about this many times. It happened some years ago. Something got into the media, and it was something that implied that there was discrimination against whites. And it seems that Afrikaans people, Boers, got really angry about this. And they went and they wrote emails to the bank. And they just addressed it, you know, to the normal info at whatever the bank name. Now this guy who was in charge of the team of people who were handling these emails, he told me that they got something like 650 emails from these angry Afrikaans people. And among those people were many who were saying, we're going to close our accounts with your bank and move our money elsewhere. And it was only 650 or so emails. But that really got the attention of everybody. And it went all the way to the top. And they were quite freaked out by this influx of angry emails from these Afrikaans people. And they had to jump around as to how they're going to deal with it, what are they going to say to them, and so forth. So a mere 650 emails caused quite a stir, quite a stir that went up through the management right to the top. And people started asking questions. So one of the things you need to understand is, how do organizations work? How do the rich work? How do the powerful work? And you are dealing with a group. And since you're dealing with a group which has got group power, you also have to operate on a group power basis. And they recognize that. And you need to know what hurts them. So the thing that you've got to understand in this world is that if you cannot hurt somebody, if you cannot hurt somebody, then you count for nothing. It is your ability to hurt an organization, whether that organization be a business, a company, a political group, a government. If you cannot hurt them in some credible way, if you cannot pose a threat to them in some way that they don't like or that affects them, they won't even think twice about you. There's that scam artist, Jesse Jackson, and an American radio show host told me personally. He said to me, Jesse Jackson became stinking rich, and all that he did was he was going to white businesses in America and basically threatening them using the color of his skin. He basically used his race to blackmail them, get them bad publicity for the business. And that freaked them out. And they handed over tens of millions of dollars to Jesse Jackson because he had the media and others working with him, and he could go there and he basically could threaten them. In this jungle, where there is only this one law, you are never going to get the attention of the rich unless you do something that puts them in a spot. They will just laugh you off. In this world of power politics, unless you can pose a credible threat to another structure, another organization, you won't be drawing anybody's attention. And it works especially well if you can find the thing that they are most vulnerable over. So if you want to have tea with the Queen of England, it's not going to be about nice manners and this and that. It's about finding some billionaire and you kick him in his nuts. Then when you kick him in his nuts and he's doubled over in pain, he's got no choice but to notice you. So whether he was snubbing you or not, once you kick him in his nuts, he has no choice but to notice you. And then you begin your negotiations. And you've got to be able to twist people's arms, got to be able to hurt them in an organizational way. You've got to be able to hurt these people. If you do not pose any kind of threat, nobody's going to take one bit of notice of you. And it's a game where you've got to be able to pose a real threat. And there are different kinds of threats. Now, in the case of big businesses, you'd be astounded at how they panic over their reputation. I saw this at the bank. Reputational damage makes them almost crazy with fear. This works so well because a bank is supposed to be trustworthy and it's supposed to be able to protect all your money. So reputational damage is the nightmare of any bank. But all organizations are very, very wary of anything that damages their customer base or damages perceptions of their business. Any business is extremely sensitive to its customer base perceptions. If it believes that it can lose clients, oh boy, it will do anything, man. They will stand on their heads. They'll do anything to stop you. So in the case of businesses, there are many ways of going after them that have meaning. In the case of political parties, again, the same thing applies. It's the perception of the masses out there that really freaks them out. Nothing freaks them out more than the perception of the masses. So in the public arena, when dealing with politicians, political parties, and businesses, it's the things that are said in public that really freak them out the most. Or the things that could happen that could affect what is said out there in the public. And there's a lot of pretense that goes around. In South Africa, there's a lot of stuff that's taken to be so because the mass media, the lying mass media, never does its job. So there are things they should be telling you that they don't tell you. And make no mistake, all organizations, including businesses and political parties, they are very wary of how people perceive them, and they are very susceptible to all kinds of things. So one way to play things is to play things out in the open. And that's particularly the area that I function in. But there are many other things that you need that back that up. And it ultimately comes back to physical things, things that can harm organizations. And however these things work, the blacks in their case, they engage in strikes. They do all sorts of things to deliberately damage business, to drive away customers, to bring down turnover. They have specialized for decades in harming businesses. And harming businesses is one way of getting attention. And in this jungle, if you want to be a player in the jungle, you have to be able to punch like the other players in that jungle. And you have to be able to land kicks and shoves and stuff like that. Until you can do that, you don't even feature as a player. But there are different things. The kicks and punches that you land, the other part of it, the political part of it, is how to exploit that, how to explain that. And the blacks were taught these things by the communists as well. They were taught how to twist things, play with words, exploit things. All this is important stuff. So if some people land a punch, you need other people to go and exploit that and play the politics of it. And the politics is the game of words. That is the politics of it. And you need to be able to put that out there. In the real world of the powerful, everybody's making threats, everybody's making moves, everybody's making counter moves. And white people are just not doing this. White people are acting like very placid cattle. They cast their votes and they do nothing and they sit and wait and then they go cast their votes, their meaningless votes yet again. And so it continues. Meanwhile, even in America, blacks are busy burning stuff down, engaging in all kinds of violence. The Jews and liberals and their media encouraging them, playing it to the maximum, trying to scare people as much as possible. And those are really the kinds of games we should be playing, because those are the only things that get you noticed. You need to be able to play a game, cause some damage to something, break something like they do, and then play that out in the public arena. You need to do stuff, and you need to be able to talk about it. And since the others are talking shit, there's nothing stopping us from talking our own shit that we need to talk, as long as the talk that we talk ends up working for us. And another thing, if you need to take care of your own security, then one of the best ways you can defend yourself is by presenting a threat to somebody else. They must know that if they come to hurt you, that you can hurt them. So then they must weigh up the odds of, is it worth hurting you? They must know that if they come to do something to you, that they are going to be hurt in the process. So they then have to ask themselves, is it worth getting bitten by you? Do they still want to do this thing? And it's all about threats and counter-threats. And you must be able to maximize the counter-threat. So they must say, we can take these people down, but it's going to hurt us like this. It's going to hurt us physically or financially. And you need to be ruthless. So there mustn't be any sort of situation where you say, no, we can't do this because we don't do something like this on a Sunday or something like that. You've got to do things and smack them in the ways that will give the maximum pain. And they must know that you are ruthless, that there's no manner in which they can come to you and calm you down. They must know that whether they do it today or next week, your response is going to be the same. You're going to be as ruthless and as nasty on a Sunday as you are on a Monday. They must know that they can't come and talk you out of it, that your trigger finger will never go lame because you feel sorry for them. So that is how you've got to approach people who are basically your opposition, or people who are not willing to cooperate with you. Maybe powerful people who are not willing to cooperate with you and they're laughing you off. So you need to go kick them in the nuts to grab their attention, and you need to grab them and twist their arms and hear them screaming a bit and twist it some more and let them scream some more. And you have to do that until they understand that you're a force to be reckoned with. This is the only way that you get respect in this jungle. Now, also in this jungle, you might have friends. And once you are feared, or people see you're a force, then they will quickly run to you and want to be your friend and your ally. Normally they'll want something from you. That's why they'll be there. But they'll want to be your friend and ally, and you can go and discuss with them various deals. And deal making is also part of life, part of the world. Kick someone in the nuts today, and you say to them, okay, I won't kick you in the nuts anymore, but here's what I want from you. See to it that you deliver on this, and I will deliver on that. So you need to strike deals with people. So you need to know who's your friend, who's your foe, who must you strong arm, what are you going to get out of them, what are you going to negotiate with them, and if they don't do their part of the deal, they need to be punished in some way. You either break the deal or you hurt them or something like that. Wherever possible, there must be consequences. And they must know you're ruthless, that what you say is what you will do. And that is important. Once you get that kind of credibility where they know that what you say is what you will do, then they'll be real careful. And you'll see in ancient times too, conquerors would cultivate an image that would terrify people. In my own life, on many occasions, I've had to choose between, do I want people to love me or respect me? And I've always chosen respect, because all these other things are irrelevant. What you need is respect from people. And you won't get respect unless you act in a certain way. And to get respect, there are a couple of things you have to do. You have to have power. You have to be able to either help somebody or hinder somebody. You can help them forward or kick them backwards. And you need to build up trust. So they need to know that you're consistent, that what you do today is what you'll do tomorrow, is what you'll do next year. They need to know that if you give your word, that your word can be trusted. So there's lots of things that go into dealing with people. You need to take some of your friends or enemies, smack them around a little bit, kick them into line, and then you work with them properly. The Romans were the best at this. The Romans were awesome at the way that they did their politics, at the way they did their alliances. They built an empire of trust. That is a fact. They built an empire of trust. Their friends knew that they could always trust the Romans. Among the things that work for white people a lot is trust and fairness. These two things alone are very, very important. I cannot tell you how important they are. They are exceptionally important. And in this jungle, where you'll find large numbers of people operate on distrust and low trust and backstabbing like the Jews, you will find that trust is something that becomes worth more than gold. And then also fairness. In Africa, that's huge. Trust and fairness are big things that could work for us. But it means that you've got to have consistent behavior, and you must command respect. And you need to command respect to quite a strong degree. There's no such thing as too much respect. But at the end of the day, all these other things are only possible if you work from strength and raw power, and you strive towards strength and raw power, whether it is in financial form or military form. The ultimate form of power is always and has always been and always will be military. Of all the forms of power, political is the one that is the most fleeting. It is the one that doesn't last and can change easily, especially in these democratic systems. But among ourselves, we need to rather have consistency so that we always have the same face that we present to all other people. The moment you are unfair or exceptionally cruel for no reason at all, then you lose respect, and you cannot afford to lose respect. Cruelty can work if used in conjunction with raw force, simply as part of crushing somebody. All these things have their uses. And making people fear you will bring about respect. People will respect that thing which can hurt them. That is the way people are. But it has to be conducted inside a certain framework. Now, just another thing. When I was in the corporate world, I might not have moved up, but I certainly knew how to land punches and I was able to scare people who were much more powerful than me, much more powerful. They had actual power and I didn't have power. And there are many ways of playing this game, and I'll still get back to the subject of teamwork, because I did some interesting things that I'd never expected that I could do, and it happened as a result of the politics of the place. All politics, no matter how insane it is, can be used. In fact, I'd go so far as to say that politics, I used to think that politics is so stacked against whites that whites could never actually use it. I would change that viewpoint nowadays and say the following to you. Politics, especially in a democracy, politics is so utterly insane that anything is possible. Anything is possible. It's utterly insane. Napoleon said that you don't need talent to succeed in politics. That is utterly true. You don't need any talent, and any kind of madness can work to your advantage. And you can be a lunatic yourself, and you can make this stupid thing work for you. Democracy is utterly insane, and in South Africa it's even more insane than normal. Let me tell you, anything is possible. I used to think all sorts of things are not possible. I no longer have that view. I say anything is possible. Things more insane than you can believe are actually within the realm of possibility. But you need to do all these things and use all your different tricks and angles and let the one thing build on the other. It's a complicated game, but it's a game with almost no rules. And you just need to know a few things about your opposition. And the more detail you know and the more you can grasp certain things, especially psychological things, and you can see when you can hurt somebody, you'll be amazed at how sensitive all kinds of people, including the rich, are when they see that something's going to mess up their game. They are very sensitive to many things. You might not have to kick them very hard in their nuts in order to really scare them a lot. These people can be scared much more easily than you think. But they need to perceive you as a lion. They need to perceive you as a lion and know that this is a no-nonsense lion, and that if they make the wrong move, the lion will just chomp their arm or leg off and they'll have to go crawling away or hopping away on their one leg after the lion has had a bit of a munching session on them. So you need to be ruthless and you need to hurt them. And you may need to set some examples. You need to beat some up, hurt them, hemorrhage them, show you mean business, and then that will spread fear among others. Fear is a good thing. Fear is what you want to present to your enemies. You don't want your enemies to love you, never. What you need to present them with is fear. They must know only fear, and they must know how lucky they are that you haven't bitten off their leg, and that at any moment you might just do it. And your enemies, you need to keep them in a state of fear. But I'm very much a believer that you mustn't behave in a treacherous way. Not to those who are supposedly your allies and friends. You can behave treacherously to any enemy, but not to those who are working with you. So you need to be clear on this concept of friend and enemy. That's been blurred far too much by the Jews and the rich. Friend and foe is a thing that we need to bring out in more stark contrast, along with treason. You know, if you are a friend, we treat you in this way. If you are an enemy, we're going to hurt you. and we're going to hurt you more, and we're going to hurt you even more. And we'll catch you off guard and hurt you as much as we can, and we are going to do it again and again, at our will, without warning. So enemies need to be treated in a certain way, and all that they must know is that pain and suffering is coming to them. Friends need to know that they are lucky to be friends, and you will treat them well, but they must see what you are doing to your enemies, so that they are aware that that could be them, and they mustn't want to be there. The moment you treat your enemy as a friend, that's very Jewish, that's very deceitful, and very dangerous. Very dangerous. And we should never be doing that. There must be a stark contrast between friend and foe. And teamwork. In order to project power, there are many things that you need to do. And you need to project it in certain ways, certain raw ways. But then you must be exploiting it in the public arena so that people can perceive it in a certain way. And there are other things others can do that can add to the power of what you've done. And teamwork in all its forms must be used so that you work on a thing and you exploit the end result of it. But until you learn to take the concept of power, raw power, in all its forms, and how you can expand it, use it, twist it, bend it, shape it, make it hit where you want it to hurt the most, unless you can do those kinds of things, people aren't going to take you seriously. And the other thing you have is also potential power. Like potential energy, you build some power, either military or financial or something else. You build that power and you can use that power. But you haven't used it yet, but everyone can see that it's there and it could be used. Potential power, like potential energy, has tremendous value and can have great deterrent value. That is like the saying, if you want peace, prepare for war. Exactly. That's exactly the right kind of thinking. Now, when you are dealing with people who are more powerful than you, and this is exactly what you're going to face in the world. When you are dealing with people more powerful than you, they never do what you want them to do. Never. If you kick them in a certain way, their reaction will be different to what you might want them to do. They might decide that they will defend themselves in this way and take a certain countermeasure in another way. And whenever you face people who are powerful, especially those more powerful than you, you don't have control over how they're going to react. And the way they're going to react might well not be the way that you're expecting. But these are among the things that one learns and plays as time goes by. You have to still go and do things. And you have to assess it and see what you can learn from it. But it's a very practical thing. And all of this is practical. This is not about just theory. You have to be creative. You have to get out there. You have to practice. But above all, we have to do it as a team. And we have to build up our team spirit and unity and the way we work together. These are the things we must do. And we must get better at it. When we talk about Nietzsche, we'll be discussing will to power. Because that is ultimately what this is about. Nietzsche said that that is what all living things strive for, is power. Everything that's born animal or vegetable, everything, whether human or non-human, male or female, is striving for some form of power. But we have to do it properly. And we have to do it the way we white people have been best at in the past. And I would go so far as to say that all politics for whites has been a failure. Almost all of it. I think that 90% of whites in the world have lost out due to politics, especially when it comes down to Jewish, liberal, communist politics. It's been absolutely a losing bet for all of us. For all of us. And we need to return to the forms of power that are raw and which create the things that we need so that we can do the things that we want to do. And when we talk about Nietzsche and the Übermensch, we'll be talking about that, because that is really what the future is about. It's about doing the things that you deem to be important for you. And we must have racial goals, unquestionably. Big racial goals that we strive for, and men and women alike must focus all our energy on achieving those goals. We're a creative people, and we've never been short of power. Now, another thing is, if we are serious, and our enemies see we are serious, they will try to crush any attempts that we make at building ourselves up. They'll try and crush it at the soonest while we are still at our weakest. So that means that you then have to operate covertly. Means that you have to do things without people knowing about it. Take your time, prepare something, build towards a goal. But we must work towards real goals and tangible goals and physical goals in the physical world. We are the builders of civilization. We are the creators of science. I think studies have shown that something like 97% of scientific contributions, of scientific discoveries, came from white people. 97%. From science flows civilization. I think one could also add science in as a form of raw power. Definitely. Because science and engineering and those kinds of things have a massive influence on military power and raw power. But we can use it anywhere. We can use our science in all kinds of ways. But power comes in many different forms, and there are forms that the rich can't operate in. They can operate with a little bit of science here and there, but they too are limited. Things like raw military power, engineering skill, and science, these are important things, very important things. These things are game changers. And when you're playing with real power, you've got to be willing to know that you might have to die. And I can't emphasize enough how with time you can learn and adapt to anything. And we are a very adaptable race. We can do all sorts of things. And even the stupid form of power like politics, we can play that game. We just need to play it in a different way. I have some of my own thoughts on some of these things. But it all comes down to the realization that we have to build up our strength in all sorts of ways. And we must work towards strength and power and raw power. Above all, raw power. Raw power means being able to smash somebody to the ground and take things by force, or get rid of them by force, if it so suits us. There's no match for raw power. Everything in this world is based on that. So these are just some thoughts for you. But what I'm trying to get at is the idea that whites must stop thinking in stupid, powerless terms. Stop thinking of, oh, abandon the political system, don't do this, don't do that, wait around for something to get better. No! You must work towards a goal, and it's got nothing to do with waiting. We must focus our energy, focus our lives on things that mean something, and group goals and racial goals that mean something. And we must work towards actual things, because power is what we need to get back everywhere, in all places, and fix things. The lion needs to come and bite some heads off. That is what the lion has to do. So that's some food for thought for you. Just sit back and think. And look at how we used to have power in our hands, especially in South Africa. Look at how we had power in our hands and how it was given away by clowns. And now we are powerless in so many areas that we used to have lots of power in. For that alone, heads should roll. And we need to strive to regain all forms of power, because that ability to either defend ourselves or to inflict potential harm on others, these things are important things. And you will find that once you start doing things with power, other things start happening. You'll get lots of people running to you. I even had blacks coming to me asking me for guns. They believed that I had money. They came and asked me for money. They came and asked me for guns. And I didn't have money and I didn't have guns. And even if I did, it's not to say I would have given them anything. But the fact is that they came to me. And they came to me on the basis of certain perceptions. And I've seen enough that I can tell you that there's a game to be played. And we must play that game. Above all, in the media and with people's perceptions and in talking, there's a war of words that needs to be waged, and that's politics. And it also includes a little bit of psychological warfare. But ultimately, that thing, in order to have credibility, needs to be backed up by something more raw. And we need to strive for those things. This business of waiting for people to attack you, waiting for something to just happen that's going to save us, all this is junk thinking. Junk thinking. White people must think in practical terms, aim for practical goals, and look at practical things. And assume that you'll be operating in a hostile world where everybody is going to be turned against you. And that's where raw power is important. Because then it doesn't matter what people think or say. The question is, can they stop you? And also for us, remember, there are things that we supposedly had, guarantees on paper, which are meaningless now. And people have done things that we don't like, but we've been powerless to stop them. No, power is not something you can compromise. Power is not something that I truly appreciated until I was now much older. And I've come to realize the importance of power and the importance of using it properly. And you need to be able to hit hard. If you want to play with the big boys, you have to be able to hurt someone. And they have to know that there are consequences. If they don't believe that you can hurt them, they'll laugh you off. So if you want to be a serious player, regionally or in the world, you have to work towards things. And this is what we should be doing. And we shouldn't worry about other values. No other value is as important as our group power and our racial power. That's it. And that is the key. With that, you can do anything. With that, you can put anybody in his place. You can take 100 billionaires and smack them around like little rag dolls, and they'll just be crying and begging for you to treat them nicely. And these billionaires are nothing, man. These billionaires are nothing. Silly politicians are nothing. What you need is raw power. And you must project it properly. And when you project it properly, you will see. You'll see all kinds of funny things happen. And some good funny things will happen. You'll be astounded what is possible. But nobody did power better than the Germans and the Italians in recent times. In the last 100 years, Hitler and the Germans and the Italians, they used power properly. And they used it well. And given that they weren't that many, they almost beat the whole world. But if more of us whites work together, we will be able to beat the whole world. We won't have to take second place anywhere. And you know, other people will not believe that we can do anything until we do something. You know, talk is cheap. And everybody can talk up a storm. I've seen this with non-whites. They can talk up a storm. But talking is not the same as doing. These Jews and these blacks, they can talk till the cows come home. You should see these people. They can do nothing but talk. And they can talk very impressively, even when they are absolute losers. Now, that's where raw power comes into play. You don't concern yourself with talking. You concern yourself with doing. You don't worry about talking the talk. You worry about walking the walk. And I got to tell you, white people are unmatched at that. Unmatched at that. And that's why I think also, there are many reasons also why I think the militarization of white people, white males, is absolutely critical and should never be dropped again ever in the future. And it has to do with perceptions of people. Until you do something, others don't know what you can do. Once you've done it, it astounds them. And their perception of you will change. You can talk until the cows come home and people won't take you seriously. But if you do something, then they will all say, wow, okay. And then they'll have to re-look at their situation. And they will come back to you on the basis of what they've seen you do. And you'd be astounded. I think that for us, raw power and military warfare is the only way. Because many people will never believe. They'll never believe what we can do until we do it. And we'll never get respect, we'll never get any kind of thing until we can show what we can do. And only then will they even begin to consider dealing with us in a different way. But talk is cheap, whereas the white race's real ace is what it can do. And that's why we should focus on what we can do. Because that will just sweep everything else off the table. And that's a total game changer, man. Total game changer. So just ponder these things. Look around you. Look at the people who are making headway. You'll see all these people using violence, using all kinds of methods of breaking stuff. They're the ones that are moving forward. And nobody's taking us seriously. Nobody's taking us seriously. Because we don't project a group image that is serious. We must project and build on a group image that means something. Then people will really be in awe, and then they'll be totally different. And don't buy the Jewish bullshit that other people need to like you, that you need to strike deals with them. That's business thinking. That's nothing. That's nothing. That is not real power, and that's not raw power. Raw power is the only power that matters. The law of the jungle, that is the only law that is out there. And that's the only law we should concern ourselves with. That is the only law that matters and the only law that will ever be there. Everything else is a complete illusion. It doesn't exist. It's not real. It's like a fairy tale. And you know, I think the Boer lost lots of respect, lots of influence, just by wimping out and having these absolutely useless leaders at the end. The ones who came after P.W. Botha, the one was more useless than the next. Absolute useless rubbish. And you need to have a certain way of dealing with people. They need to know, man. They need to know that they're playing with something that could burn them. They need to be careful. They need to walk on eggshells around you. There are lots of reasons why raw power is the only way to go. And it's the only goal that we should have. However long it takes us to get there, we must work towards it in all its forms. But we can play politics. Politics is a simple game. It's a nutty game. And it has value, but ultimately, you need raw power. You need it for defense. You need it also to get what you want to get. You need it to be able to project power and the potential to hurt somebody. You could have 10 different groups around you, all of which want to hurt you. But if each one of them knows that they're going to suffer pain, then almost all of them will be unlikely to take that risk. Once you can project pain onto somebody directly, onto a group directly, then you're getting somewhere. Then you're starting to get somewhere. If they know that you can reach out and touch them, if they know that you can reach out and touch them, then they're going to tread real carefully, really lightly. As one of my viewers said, he said, make the white male great again. And I mean that. The white male needs to come out. When the white male starts showing signs of life, I assure you the white females will be there and they'll be very excited about it. But you'll see that until the lion stirs, until the lion starts showing some life, everything else is dependent on that lion. If that lion is successful, then great. Everything can be built around the lion. And when the lion dies, everything else will also die. That lion is the heart and soul of everything. And you'll see that everything comes from it. But that lion needs to be there, and he needs to be determined to act like a lion. So that's it for today. Thank you very much for listening. Make the white male great again. And let's hope that that lion begins to roar in the years ahead. Take care of yourselves.